This is Rima, I'm John Peachy, and it is that time we're going to talk about our young people. And my guest in the studio again is Yvonne Godfrey. And Yvonne is releasing a book in 2016, which we're previewing. We're doing a bit of a sneak preview of it, really. The book is called Don't Peak at 18, How to Succeed in the Real World Beyond School. And Yvonne, thank you for coming in, because our listeners are actually getting some free advice up front.
It's a pleasure.
The previous three bits that we've dealt with have been, I think, absolutely fascinating. So know what the world will expect from you, how to communicate through adult speak and preparing to leave home. And today's subject, which is chapter four of the book, is dealing with building relationships and people matter, building healthy relationships. How do we go about that?
Look, for young people, it's absolutely their life. Their friends are their life. And so it's really important that they choose the right ones. Just some thoughts that I have around this is, first of all, you've got to have realistic expectations of one another. It's no good if one person wants it to be a casual relationship and the other one wants to be best friends forever from week one. So I always recommend young people to just take their time building the intensity of a relationship. So this is friendship or romantic. If people slowed down a bit and treated relationships in a slow cooker rather than a microwave, they would save themselves a lot of heartbreak. And social media and all sorts of methods of building relationships means that people jump in with both feet too quickly often. So having that realistic expectation is one thing. Number two is you've got to have a win-win approach. So if you have a relationship, both people have got to be getting benefit. You've got to be adding value to each other.
Yes.
You can't just have one who's sucking the lifeblood out of the other person. Do you know what I mean?
Well, which happens, I think, far too often, actually, yeah.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see that. And to share common morals and ethics, because if you're not on the same page about the deeper things of life, you're going to be always in a constant state of conflict, or one of you is going to drag the other one down a rabbit hole.
Well, I remember a pastor saying many years ago that great wisdom, actually, said that the time to make the decision on sexuality is not when you're lying naked in the bed with someone. That is not the most appropriate time to make that decision. The time to make the decision is well in advance, and
that's
I'm not
right.
going to go there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's all around building the relationship more slowly.
Yeah.
Testing it. Do we have some purpose for this relationship? I mean, is it going anywhere? And it's not that every relationship has to be at that level, because we have lots of friends that I've got one girlfriend that she's just my great shopping buddy. You know, she's got great taste in clothes and she's a giggle and I laugh and I love to take her shopping. But she's not a friend that I would discuss my deepest, darkest issues with.
Right.
So
yes,
all friends yeah. have different needs. But I mean, just as a general, I guess, criteria, is to make sure that you are both bringing value to the table and that you've got some commonality around your ethics and your morals, because honestly, it doesn't take long for someone to take you down a very bad path if you're not monitoring that side of the relationship. And then a good relationship needs to be able to cope with change. Every relationship will be tested.
Yes.
So you do have to be able to fight fair and fix fights, as I say.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to understand that a problem with a relationship doesn't mean it has to be the end of that relationship, but you've got to know how to cope with a difficulty that comes up and to move on to the next level in your relationship.
That 5-year period between, say, 18 and 22, 23 is a period of concertina change, isn't it? I mean, everything is changing around you. I mean, you're maturing intellectually, you know, physically, you know, everything changes, your music tastes, your friends. The 5-year period's interesting, because I remember a very wise person saying to me, show me your 5 closest friends and I'll show you where you're going to be in 5
years. That's right.
And it might sound a bit fuddy-duddy to say, you know, to quote that bad moral corrupts, is it good bad company corrupts good morals?
That's right.
But it's absolutely true,
isn't
it? It
is absolutely true. But do you know that we change 80% of our friends every 5 years? So every 5 years, 80% of your friends will have moved on. And this is not just young people. This is all of us.
Wow.
So here's a good question. If your friends are not changing, you're not growing.
That's
isn't it?
Yes.
So in other words, we all develop at a different rate. We're all growing. We've got different aspirations in life. We develop and grow at different rates. So it is natural for friends to drop off one end and new friends to come in. Friends, just the natural attrition takes place.
Yes.
But I think to hold on to friends that are not adding value to your life just because you think you should, that's a sign of immaturity. So I encourage young people to be really clear about the people they have around them. As you said, John, if they challenge them, make them grow, stretch them, these are good friends to have.
These are good friends to
these
have.
These are good friends to have.
Yes. Now, yep. Unfortunately, my friend Craig, if you're listening, I'm giving you 6 weeks' notice. No, not at all. But I know what you're saying because I think as we mature and we get to understand what we want in life, we do draw people around us that feed into that life as opposed to drain away from it. And the old thing about, you know, friends who are, you know, still drinking and still pubbing and still at some point you just go, really? And you yawn and you go, it's really time for me to move on.
And you know what happens at this age too? Because young people are meeting so many new people from different circles, because remember their school circle and their home circle was probably pretty much it, plus their a few hobbies and things. Yes. Now they leave school and potentially the world's their oyster.
Absolutely.
So one thing that I do encourage is those really good mates you've had since you were a child, and there won't be that many of them, but there's a handful, maintain them. Don't lose sight of the childhood friends you've had and the loyal buddies you've had just because there's a new flashy person comes into your life. So how are you going to maintain this ever-increasing pool of people that are coming around you? And I've got some good techniques in the book, and one of them is to list your friends, to categorise them, if you like, into A, B and C. So A is the A-list. They're the people that are going to be in your life forever.
Yes.
B are your buddies, and C are casual. Mm. Make sure you're spending enough time on the A-list. Make sure that you don't get distracted by every person that invites you to be their friend on social media and find that you actually don't have time to maintain good relationships, because it takes time, effort, focus and heart to keep good relationships.
Yes, and so, I mean, sometimes the Johnny-come-latelys are fun and exciting and vibrant because they bring something new, but I mean, the old Eagles song, Johnny-come-late, it's a very true song, eventually, you know, Johnny's not the one they're talking about, and he's gone.
That's right. So it's allowing people to naturally drop off the radar.
Yep.
Not feeling you have to be friends with everybody, but using those good old-fashioned people skills, caring enough, being proactive in your communication to keep up those relationships, and not expecting everybody to come to you, but go out and make sure that you're staying in touch with those old friends.
Yeah, I think it's important. I don't know if you're aware of it. There was a study done called Blue Zones, which was a fascinating study, and very abbreviated version. They studied people who are 100 plus.
Yes.
Some of these people were significantly 100 plus, 108, 110. They identified zones around the world where these people clustered and lived. And then they did the obvious thing, was to research as to why on earth they got to be, you know, significantly into the next century. And one of the pods of people were in a particular place in Japan, and one of the cultural values were you had four or five friends that stayed with you your entire life, and they just knew everything about you. They shared your highs, your lows, your marriages, your babies, your birthdays. And it was beautiful, as you say. It was really, really lovely. And that contributed to their living into you know, ridiculous numbers.
Yes.
There's a real value in that.
There is value in that, and that's why it's important, too, to be able to handle conflict. Because every relationship is tested. And what I'm seeing at the moment is too many young people, they just, we'll stuff you, walk away, unfriend you on Facebook, and that's the end of it. They're not working through the issues. And so it's not difficult to work through conflict if you know what to do. And I just use a very simple formula myself, and it's a four-step that young people can use. And that is, number one, is to take the emotion out of it so that you can observe what really happened. So number one, observe what really happened, just the facts, not the fiction, not all the emotion.
Yes.
Number two, then have self-empathy. How do you really feel? And we use anger, and I'm angry to actually describe a range of feelings that's under that. So you might be hurt or embarrassed or frustrated, all of those things. And that's really what you are. And when you understand that, then you don't let anger take over.
Yes.
You understand the true heart of it.
Well, that's great advice.
Yeah, number three is to understand the other person from the same perspective. So you've just had self-empathy. What about having others' empathy? Mm. How might they feel? Put yourself in their shoes. How might they feel? How might you have actually contributed to the way they feel?
Yes.
Right? And then number four is outcome, win-win. What do you want to happen? When I hear people arguing and carrying on, they are so incensed and so overwhelmed by their feelings, nobody ever asks for a solution. So what do you really want to happen? And ask for it in such a way that it brings a win-win result. It is the simplest formula for nonviolent communication, and yet you can work through just about any issue and come out the other end with a stronger, deeper, more realistic relationship that is likely to go the distance and grow you as a person in the process. And of course, that skill is so vital to your working world as well, because relationships are everywhere. It's not just your mates, it's your parents, it's your work colleagues, it's your boss, it's wherever you might go, to know that you can, where it's, the Bible says, where it's up to you to be at peace with all men.
To be at peace with all men. I think, yeah, that's vital.
And so to use that principle and become proactive in conflict resolution goes a long way to maintaining great friendships.
Well, I love the fact they've used the word empathy, because empathy, you know, if we understand empathy in respect of others, then we're going to do very well in life.
That's right.
It's such a core value, I think. So those four steps are in the book.
They are in the book.
Ooh, fantastic. So the fifth part of that, of course, is forgiveness.
That's right.
And I like what you say, that forgiveness releases you from plotting revenge,
which young people do so brilliantly, because they use social media for that revenge too.
Horrifically
and
so.
Of course, unfortunately, that is long lasting.
Yeah, that is long lasting. Look, the book is called Don't Peak at 18. It's due to be released in early 2016. The subtitle is How to Succeed in the Real World Beyond School. The author is my guest, Yvonne Godfrey, and she's not only an author, but she's a public speaker, and she presents on these issues. And you may be familiar with her previous book, Parenting the Adults. And I love the fact you've done this, and I look forward to the book coming out.
Me too.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's a labour of love, obviously.
I love it.
But I think it's great conversation. It's vital tips, and you, the audience, are gaining the preview of that and the benefit of her experience. Next time when we come back, we're gonna tackle the tricky subject of mastering
money.
Fantastic, Yvonne. Nice to see you.